Pastor, grace and peace to the household of faith. Thank God for everyone here, even those that are on their way. Amen. Thank God for that song. Amen. Wherever he leads me, I go. Thank God. Even it may be a place where my flesh don't want to go, but thank God. He leads me, and I will follow. And that is the essence, the apex of walking by faith. Let every heart pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness, goodness, and your mercy. Oh, God, we thank you for, oh, this wonderful day, another glorious day where we can dwell in the richness of Christ. Oh, God, we thank you for the essence, the truth, the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, we ask that everything said, everything done, everything, will exalt Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, God, let every thought, everything that's not of Christ, put aside by your Spirit, Father. Let every heart focus on what you did for us in eternity before the foundation of the world. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your love. We thank you, Father. Breathe upon your people according to your will, plan, and purpose. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, as we were thinking today, first of all, some of you may know, some of you may not, but I would say that, you know, I think but most of you know, we had Mother Goodloe Johnson, mother-in-law, my sister Karen's mother. As you know, she passed away May 25th, and they had the memorial in Ocala, Florida, a week ago, this past Saturday. And so the First Assembly of God, Church of God, sends their love. Amen. And they thank you for, they thank, but God calls it for Mother Goodloe being, Johnson being in the essence of with them for the past 3 years. So it was a wonderful, glorious time in their the memorial. Amen. In the essence of Christ, you know, when I was thinking, Pastor, thinking, you know, it's amazing about the workings of God. So many things that you look at today, so many things that preachers, whether it's in the United States, other parts of the world, I mean, there are so many things, quote, that people want to say, in essence, what's my topic today? And there are so many things that people, ministers, I mean, should be leaders, church leaders, are preaching today. Some are preaching regarding maybe an oppressive government, you know, how do we can get delivered from that. Others are preaching on the economy. Others on taxes, politics. Others local to here, even local preachers, you know, how to rescue the Troubman school system in Detroit, the budget crisis. I mean, so many, you can go on and on with a plethora of topics that are indwelled in most, a lot of pulpits today. And again, I can guarantee you, a major topic today in many churches is going to be the health care law that was just passed. Many. They're going to dwell on that. In other words, okay, we're going to do this. I mean, so many things, but I'm reminded, hallelujah, what our God's, what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:2. He said, I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, there are many things that we can talk about. But thank God. See, Paul had the same problem. The church at Corinth, there are problems. The reason there are problems in the church, because there are problems outside. And I'm sure they said, Paul, you know, we're not being treated fair. The legal system's all messed up. We all these problems, Paul. So you need to give us some solution, Paul. Give us, Paul, we need some help. But what did he say? He said, I came not preaching anything except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In other words, he reminded those Corinthians that you were saved before the foundation of the world. He reminded them that you were dead in Christ, but now you are alive in Christ. One day you were dead. In other words, he told those Corinthians, get your eyes on what you see, but get on what did God say about you? And in one account, he said you were sanctified. You were, you were just. All in spite of the problems, they were what? They belonged to God. In essence, that's what we need to focus on. In other words, we need to focus on the fact that we were saved before the foundation of the world. We were sanctified, redeemed, called, justified. And one day we are glorified. We are because we shall be glorified. So these are the things that we need to focus on. Who we are in Christ. Amen. We're going right to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11, please. This is our base scripture. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. And as you know, the topic every Sunday at the Grace Gospel Church, the topic is what? Jesus. Amen. What did he do for us in his eternal workings? The security that we have in Christ. So let's, again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. And we'll go ahead and read this in the King James, but we're going to look at focus on verse 11 in the interlinear Greek, because that's the part we want to bring out today in essence of what we purpose to do. Amen. Again, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. Our reader, Deacon Gavin, is going to be our reader. Amen.
We're reading from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, beginning verse 1 and through verse 11. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles.
You Gentiles.
If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you.
In other words, I'm going to stop a few things here, Deep. We'll let you keep reading later. But he noticed, Paul says, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me to you? In other words, the dispensation is what? A house rule. Have you heard of this? Because men are what? Had not. 2,000 years later, you ask many Christians today, have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? Some would say, what's that? Is that an English word? Is that a planet? What's that? 2,000 years written in our contract. Have you heard of the dispensation of the grace of God? God's economy, God's directives for the great church, God's rules, God's marching orders is in our contract. The gospel of the grace of God, that volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul for the grace church. Amen.
Verse 3. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ.
Notice, by revelation. In other words, Paul was a learned man, but he did not get this from going to a local school. Paul did not get this information from being taught by man. In other words, Paul got this information, the Apostle Paul, straight from Jesus himself. In other words, he gave him some information that was never, ever before given. No one up to this time. The mystery, truth, grace, mystery, truth. Amen. That volume of truth that was given to the Apostle Paul. Amen. Keep reading, Dee.
Verse 5. Which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men.
In other ages. So you cannot say, okay, we'll find out. Let's say in our gospel, you say, okay, I read the word Gentile. So I'm going to go over there and do the rhyme and or maybe in Isaiah and see Gentiles. So we Gentiles today, we are a fulfillment of what Isaiah saw. No, he just said, the information that you have in the gospel, the grace of God, it was not known before. No one knew this prior to God's revealing this to the Apostle Paul. Amen.
As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel whereof I was made a minister.
Gentiles should be of the same body. In other words, you won't find nowhere in the Bible, outside of our what, gospel, will you find what? Jew and Gentile, the same body, one in Christ. It amazes me. I hear people say, oh, you know, our Jesus raised the dead. Jesus fed the thousands. I wish I were there when Jesus was in the earth. No, you didn't. No, you don't. No. Because if you were walking with Jesus during that day, you know, I always thought that, why did Jesus, we know God is perfect. Jesus is what? God himself. But you read some accounts in the kingdom gospel, and you know, we all human. I know God is perfect. It's 20 years ago, the first time I read a scripture. But Jesus was so hard on this woman. And the Syrophoenician woman, we know the story. She came to the Lord and said, Lord, let's paraphrase. Lord, my daughter is grievous to death with a what? Devil. Hear her, Jesus. In essence, paraphrasing, Jesus said, get away from me. I'm not sent, but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Wait a minute. Why was he hard on her? He wasn't hard on the woman. In fact, thank God, he healed. She received from the Lord, not because she had a covenant right, but because of purpose. In other words, she received her blessing, but by contractual basis, on a contractual basis, in manifestation now, God had no what? Contract with Gentiles. in manifestation. But what we do know today in actualization, we always had a contract with God. We have always belonged to God. That's by what? By His actualized decree. But in manifestations, we were cut off from God. But in actualization, we have always been, we've always belonged to God. Amen.
His promise in Christ by the gospel whereof I was made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God.
And what is that manifold wisdom of God? This verse 11.
From the King James Version, according to the eternal purpose.
The manifold wisdom of God is the eternal purpose,
which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Now, let's go to the Greek. Let's read, for those of you that have a Greek Bible, let's read verse 11 in the Greek, please. In the Greek text.
From the interlineal Greek text, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. According to purpose.
According to purpose.
Of the ages.
Of the ages.
Which He made in Christ.
Which He made in Christ.
Us, the Lord of us.
He, according to what purpose? Now, read verse 10 one more time, Deacon Gavin. Verse 10.
Verse 10, interlineal Greek text. In order that might be made known now to the rulers and to the authorities in the heavenlies through the church, the manifold wisdom of God.
The manifold wisdom of God is according to purpose. See, you cannot dissect verse 10 from verse 11 because you have a preposition kata, the preposition according. So a preposition joins two thoughts or phases or connections. So the manifold wisdom of God is according to His eternal purpose. And in fact, that word purpose is an aorist indicative in the active voice. And we know the aorist is a past completed action. The indicative is a fact. It is purpose. It's a past completed fact. That the wisdom of God, His purpose is already done. Past completed fact in the active voice, which is connected to what? Wisdom. That's the problem today. People are trying to understand the wisdom of God in situations apart from purpose. And let me just stated earlier, in fact, in Sunday school, just a few minutes ago, if you do not divide the Bible according to dispensations and covenants, you will be what? Confused. Also, we can add, subtopic, if you do not understand God's eternal workings as it relates to His eternal purpose, you will be doubly confused. Because things happen, things pop up in your life, and you're trying to figure things out down here, not knowing that there's an eternal purpose in everything that goes down. God has a purpose for it. Things just do not happen. Now, I mentioned during Family and Friends Day, I mentioned some things on purpose regarding to God's purpose in His actualized decree. And everything is governed by purpose. And what happens again? Things people read in the Bible, they try to analyze it apart from purpose, and they're confused. And you cannot understand the essence of the other parts of the Bible without you have to go to our gospel to get clarification on the other parts of the Bible where you have less information. So the problem, people are going to what? Deuteronomy. And by the way, let me say, the whole Bible is God's word. The whole Bible is true. But if you try to what? Summarize Deuteronomy, all you're going to get is the law. You're going to see that you're going to have to do something to what? To be saved. But the Bible doesn't. It says, if you do this, God do that. That's written in the language of what? Those other covenants. But our God tells us, you already saved. God's already done it. Amen? Now, looking at purpose, we need to look at this further. Because people, they're trying to look at things and analyze it from the part of the Bible where you have less information. For example, let's look at our God. Even in the kingdom gospel, the word of God, but you're not going to get the essence of the deeper things in the kingdom in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have to go to our gospel to shine light on those other writers in the Bible. I remember last week in studying this, I remember the account for Jesus, our Lord and Savior, died for our sins. He died in eternity. Now somebody said, no, he died 2,000 years ago. He died in eternity. If you don't divide the Bible, people say, one person said, but he died 2,000 years ago. And then you go over there in Revelation 13:8, he says he was slain before the foundation of the world. How do you reconcile that? Revelation 13:8, he was what? Slain. The Lamb of God was slain before the foundation of the world. And then over here, Jesus was slain 2,000 years ago. In God's actualized decree, he was slain in eternity. But it was manifest on Calvary. Calvary was the testimony of what happened in eternity. So, then Jesus, let's look at Jesus' life. Born, raised the dead, did all the miracles, right? And then, when he went to the cross, Jesus said what? It is finished. We know the story. And when you read accounts of this, the information you have, because people would take that written from what? The kingdom contract, which is not going to give you the information that we have. And you hear things, he said it is finished. It means that, the old way of doing things is done now what? Look to me, I'm the Messiah. Okay, that's part of it. But that's not all of it. But you don't get that, the full essence of the information. You have to go to our contract. When Jesus said it is finished, the information that we have in our contract is that his purpose was fulfilled. When Jesus Christ, when his purpose was fulfilled, what? It's done. In manifestation, it is done. His purpose was fulfilled. And many times they tried to kill him. One time I was reading there, they said, I got Jesus now. He preached so hard, he made the religious leaders mad. Do you know when you're preaching the truth, people will get mad? When you are preaching the truth, people will get mad. And the other account, there are 20,000 people in this auditorium, Pastor. I mean, they were doing that. And I'm saying, wait a minute, who's mad? I said, I don't see no one mad. Because if you're really teaching and preaching the word of God, it's going to upset some people. So in essence, what happened was this. That one time man's thinking, wicked men's thinking. They said, Jesus preaching. And they said, he was probably preaching on the edge of the cliff. And they picked up stones. They said, I have this imposter now. And when they were getting ready to stone Jesus, the Bible said, he slid out from the midst of them. In other words, nowhere in the Bible do you read that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, was going to be stoned to death. No, he was going to die on the cross according to Scripture. And what happened? When his time was fulfilled, all according to what? God's eternal purpose. Another account. Let's take the Apostle Paul's life. Read an account where the story. One time he was out there. A poison snake bit him, and he shook the snake off. And somebody, and see, the people in that culture, they knew he should have been dead. Why didn't Paul die? His purpose was not fulfilled. One time he was shipwrecked, and I read some history of this based upon what was happening at that time. That shipwreck should have destroyed all those people, not only Paul, but everybody on board. Why didn't Paul die? His purpose was not fulfilled. One time, he preached so hard about, you just read about what? This dispensation of the gospel of God. The grace of God. Information that was never been, that was always hidden until God revealed it to the Apostle Paul. And one time these wicked men got so mad, they said, we're going to fast, we're not going to eat a bite of nothing until he's dead. And they follow him, and eventually they stone him, and they said, we got him now. And we know what happened. They prayed Paul, and Paul what? God raised Paul up. Why didn't Paul die? His purpose was not fulfilled. But what happened? What happened when his purpose was fulfilled? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 68. Do we have time? We'll read this in the King James and the Greek, please. Very familiar passage here. Again, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 68.
Again, we're reading from the book of 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, beginning verse 6 through verse 8.
Wait, one thing, I still hear pages. We want everyone to see this. Again, Apostle Paul went through what? Turmoil, shipwreck, beaten. One time it said 40 stripes minus 139 stripes. It's like everywhere he went, he said he had troubles from without. And then he had what? The cares of all the churches. He had problems from without and problems from within. And by the way, many times, what happens within the church, it'll kill you worse, it'll mess you up worse than what happens outside. Somebody say, wait a minute, not people of God. Are you kidding? It reminds me of a story where this young lady, she was tired of working for these wicked sinners. She was working a job for 25 years. I'm just tired. So what happened? Her pastor talked to her, what do you mean you're tired of? This place is all corrupt. You know, I go here, they cheating and they do all these crazy things. And I see them lying and they do all these crazy things. So I'm going to pray about getting a job in the church. So she worked for 25 years. So she resigned from the job. And she worked 3 weeks in the church. And she said, wow! I don't believe this. So the pastor, what is? It's worse stuff junk in the church than it was when I was out there. What do you expect? You know, people are all depraved. Amen. So she felt that she got, quote, a job in the church. That she would be what? Delivered from what? All these crazy things, right? Amen. Many times it's worse. Because we have, I know, talking to people that work in the church. Amen. We're not minimizing that. I'm just saying. That you don't, what, go to a move to a different environment to call yourself getting away from what? Depravity. People are what? Depraved. No matter where you go, people are depraved. My wife and I, Sister Cameron, we were laughing. I said, what, all these crazy things? I mean, every day. Right, baby? I had a church. I said, I don't believe this. No, I did believe, you know, but I mean, you're talking about shooting and drugs. I mean, you know, woo! He said, oh, this is the world, hey, crazy things. Crazy weather, rain every day, right? Every day. Tropical storm Debbie, every day. So what happens is that you understand that God works by purpose. And you can have the peace of God that passeth all understanding if we keep our hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Amen. Okay, let's go 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 68.
First from the King James Version, verse 6-8. Paul writes, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Mm-hmm. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing."
How mercy. Now let's read this in the Greek. Now notice now again, all the problem, this whole ministry, the Lord is letting Paul know that he's approaching the end of what? The time capsule. Absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. The information that Paul has is that his life is what? Not over. God's people should understand, our life, the life that this is, life is short in the earth. I don't care if you live 80, what, 90 years. It's short. It's but a what? Drop in the ocean compared to eternality. But let's see what Paul states. Let's read this in the Greek. Amen.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, 2 Timothy 4 and 6. For I already am being poured out, and the time of the departure of me has arrived. Verse 7. Mm-hmm. The good struggle I have struggled. The course I have finished. The faith I have kept. For the rest, there is laid up for me the of righteousness crown, which will render to me the Lord in that day the righteous judge, not only and to me, but also to all the having loved the appearance of him.
Now, analyze what these, you know, when he just read that what? I'm ready to be offered. I have finished my course. God has given the Apostle Paul, who wrote most of the Bible, he wrote all the Grace Covenant. Amen. But I don't want to get into that, because when people say the New Testament, they miss the what? They read Matthew and then what, Revelation, they say this is all the New Testament. No, it's not. In other words, we have within those books, amen, you have intertwined within those writings, you have what we call the Grace Covenant, the Grace Contract, which is what? That's Romans to what? Hebrews. Amen. Those are our directives. So in essence here, he states that, what? I have finished my course. Wait a minute. He said, I have finished my course, but he was still, what, at that time, obviously he wrote, he was still living. But he was what? Speaking from what? A position of what? Actualized decree. It's already done. It is, because it was in eternity. He said, I finished my course. And we know what, in manifestation, his history shows that he was beheaded by the most wicked emperor that Rome ever had. Beheaded. Now, some of us, see, here's what we did. If you don't understand eternal purpose, somebody said, well, this man God used, he gave him some information that was never what? Never been written before. The truth, the mystery. Natural thinking would say, why did God just let him just sit and what? And die at an old age. Like John. Why did God let him die such a violent death? I mean, beheaded. Can you imagine? It was all what? By purpose. It was all by purpose. All what? Eternal intent. All done in eternity. God does. See, most of God's people do not understand sovereignty. God does what he wants to do, when he wants to do, and how he wants to do it. It's all by his eternal purpose and decree. You know, I have a one of my co-workers at Wayne State. We didn't mention a couple months ago. You know, I said in love. He said, yeah, you can see again, I'm not knocking his church, but he goes to a church where, you know, if you walk upright, if you do this, then you'll be blessed all the days of your life. He said, Bill, I was listening to him, right? Yeah, because I'm trying to serve the Lord the best way, and that's why I'm blessed. He said, anybody that walk and serve Jesus, you know, they'll live a happy, long, successful, prosperous life. And no problems if they have enough faith. You heard that before. I said, so I analyzed it. I said, John, let's analyze this. I said, will you say that, can we agree that the disciples had faith? Oh, absolutely. They had faith, Bill. They had faith. I mean, you know, even though they were kind of wavering times, but they did, you know, they had faith. They loved Jesus. Well, John, you know, in essence, all of those disciples, except John, they died a violent death. And they also died at a young age, primarily. So we had a good discussion. Why, John? He said, man. And he said, I love his BLB. I better investigate that. In other words, he couldn't deny it. But you see, when people are just what? They're just giving information without understanding what purpose. God has a purpose for everything that goes down. Nothing happens outside the arena of his purpose. Nothing. Everything is governed by God's purpose. And the problem here, people trying to analyze situations, analyze things without looking at what eternal purpose and intent. And it will float down, looking at life from the eternal view. And what God has done for us in his eternal plan of redemption should bring peace in our everyday life. But the reason so many of God's people are not peaceful, because they do not understand what? Purpose. And in essence, you see, many times God's purpose, see, when we think about God's purpose, people, most people think about, well, this person, they were living, and they what? They died. And depending upon how long they live, they can say, oh, yeah, that was God's purpose. Mother Goodlow, 81 years old. Healthy one day, next day, absent from the body, present with the Lord. So most people say, yes, her purpose was fulfilled, absolutely. But now my grandson Christian, who lived on a few weeks, they say, well, something happened. You know, he don't snatch your mind. They say, oh, he was on a few weeks because he never went to school, this and that. They never tell you, but they're thinking that way. Oh, he never went to school. He never been on the, went to a camp with me. So his purpose was not fulfilled. Says who? God is not limited in time to fulfill his purpose. God, a person is not to have to live to be 90 years to fulfill his purpose. A baby can live 1 minute and they can fulfill the purpose of God. Because God can compress 100 years down to 1 second to fulfill his purpose. So that's the confusion. People do not understand eternal purpose, eternal intent. Why? Because we are not in time. God is not in eternity. And eternity, there's no time in eternity. And because of this, things happen. If you read about parts of the Bible, he said, that's confusing. I don't understand what happened. Give me another example. Let's corroborate something. You don't have to go there. You know the story. Philip preaching the gospel of the kingdom. I was reading that last night. He preached the gospel of the kingdom, you know, the Ethiopian. He preached, and the Lord said, join yourself to that chariot. And he preached Jesus Christ. The information they had at that time was what? The kingdom gospel, right? And he was on the chariot. And what happened? He was reading from the book Isaiah. And Philip said, you understand what they're reading? Same thing today. A lot of people read. They read, but they don't know what they're reading. There are some people that can quote this whole Bible verbatim, but they don't know what they're reading. Because it has to be what? The Holy Spirit, the teacher. If the Holy Spirit does not bring enlightenment, there are many things I've read for 25 years. Yeah. Pastor, Gavin, yeah. Elba. Yeah. 25 years. You know what I was reading. Then all of a sudden, the Lord bring light. What? It meant that? Somebody said, you kind of slow, it took 25 years for you to get it. Wait a minute. The Holy Spirit, the teacher, you can go to your grave being, I'm not going to give you a word, it's not the D, you know, amen. You can go to your word being without knowledge. I use the word ignorant, amen. And by the way, that's not a bad word, it's without knowledge. And everyone is ignorant of some things. So, in essence, he didn't know what he was reading, but when he gave had the enlightenment that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. What happened? He said, forbid men to be baptized. Then somebody said, well, there it is, water baptism. That's the information. Yes, the kingdom gospel is water baptized. And for those that listen by what? Radio or internet, please, please, please don't tell your people that if you're not baptized in water, you're going to go to hell. Because baptism in the grace contract, for by one spirit of y'all have been, you are because you have been. For by one spirit we are baptized in eternity. But in essence, so when he said, what happened when he was baptized? Somebody would think, oh, Lord, the Lord's going to use Philip. He's going to use Philip to revive this whole town. The Bible says instantly, God transported Philip to another town. Now somebody said, why did God do that? See, outside of our contract, you say, well, God, you know, God doesn't want to do it. What happened? Well, see, Philip's purpose in dealing with the Ethiopian eunuch, his purpose was fulfilled. And with God, when his purpose was fulfilled, God moved Philip to another town. And that's the same thing about life.
See, in terms of life, when your purpose has been fulfilled, change is going to come. I look around here, and there are some. I look at some people here are retired. Some of you have been retired from your job 30 years. Some have been retired. Some are going back to work. But you know, if you look at the word retirement, you know what happened to you on the job for 30 years? God's purpose for you on that job was fulfilled. And when you retired, God, that was just what? A minute. When you signed the retirement papers, that was just a process of what God had already purposed. And that process, when you retire, you can retire what? Voluntarily, you know. Or you can retire involuntarily. You can call a pink slip. So somebody said, I got a pink slip. Well, wait. Why do you get a pink slip? Oh, because I came to work late and I did this and that. Wait a minute. That's all process. Somebody said, no, I came to work late and that's why they fired me. Well, I know people that are lazy and late, go to work late, they still got the job. So I said, well, how can that be? See, you need to go above that. You know, there are some people that are slothful and they've been still on the job for 30 years. So change is not about what you they'll battle away. Thank God you got a job. Be there first on time tomorrow. Amen. That's part of God's process. But see, people get confused when they see one person being over here and still got a job, and you in your mind doing what you see. I'm doing. I'm working perfect, and all of a sudden you get fired. God's purpose for you has on that job is over, and God's getting ready to move you to another slide, another frame in that matrix. And somebody said, what is it? That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. Amen. Another one. The one that so many people are confused. You look, you know, you analyze some people. Let's look at this. Let's look at purpose in this area. Eternal purpose. Eternal intent. Many preachers, because they do not understand God's purpose. How many of you know people, have known God's people that have, quote, been married and remarried? Many of you all know someone, right? Now, what happens is this. Here's a problem of not looking at things through the eternal view. They look at things, say, oh, this person, they got a divorce, and now they're remarried. Well, let's look at it this way. Why are they remarried? They get remarried. Well, why? God's purpose. God's purpose. Which means that God's purpose for them to what? Be married on the second, third time, who knows? Is the same as God's purpose for them to have got a divorce. And thank God, the goal to get come together, amen, you know, stay together, but as a goal. I look at the church. I think, look at that. God bless Sister Ruth and Charles, 50 plus years. Why is that? God's purpose. But I have known some that haven't been together 50 minutes, Sister Ruth. Ain't been together 50 minutes. Somebody said, why is that? God's purpose. And we are not, hey, come together, go, right? But understand that God's work, that purpose, and His ways are not what? Our ways, and many times a friend of mine said, he know a preacher, you go to this church, first of all, to work in the church, you have to send the church a resume. And he's directed his staff. If you see a person applying for a job, and if that person, quote, has the question, have you been married? Have you ever been married? If they say yes, tear up the resume. In other words, what happens? They don't understand purpose. Because God is governed by what? Eternal purpose, eternal intent. And amen. So again, this is not a marriage session, but it has to be said many times because men and God's people are living as if, you know, I've been married twice and maybe God's been married with me. Everything is by what? Purpose. And that doesn't mean, I would say this, I move on. That doesn't mean like one couple say, well, Pastor, we're going to get a divorce in here 5 years. We're going to get a divorce. Wait a minute, why? Because she can't cook. Wait a minute. So she can't cook. No, wait a minute. Is she a good wife? Yes, but she just can't cook. Thank God for a wise pastor. He said, listen. He said, look, tell your wife, go to a cooking class. They have a cooking class. Amen. Learn how to cook. Amen. And been married 40 years now. See? Another count. Pastor, many a divorce. God's purpose was to get a divorce. Marriage, you know, short time. Why? He don't work. So wait a minute. Is he a good husband? Yeah, but he just don't work. Thank God for wise pastor. Say, listen, young man, go out, get your resume done. In the process, pass out your resumes. That's God's work. And then what happened? Did that? Got a job. Been a job 30 years. Happened there. You know. So in essence, what's the statement here? God, everything that happens in life, we have to look at God's eternal purpose and eternal intent. Because if you don't look at this, you're saying things out there are just happening, and then if it happens, you're confused. Bear with me for 10 minutes. I started 10 minutes late, so I really have 20 minutes. I'm going to be out here in 10. I'm looking at someone. See, I know him. Amen. That's why she's sitting in the back. Amen. So I have 10 minutes. So in essence, men of God's people are operating as things pop up on the matrix, and they try to what? Operate that way and try to analyze that. Analyze everything, not looking at the God's purpose and intent. Guaranteeing this past Thursday, there were many Christians that were standing outside of what, the nation's capital. Oh, and Pastor, we talked about that this morning. They were what? Probably shaking about the rule in health care. It's interesting. And by the way, you know I said, we started out, everything that we mentioned in the what, down here is from a what? Eternal view. Many of Christians are looking, they say, I don't understand. They say, what happened? In other words, in essence, I'm not making no political statement. I'm just making a point here based on what happened. There was a certain one group says, basically they're saying this law is dead. It's in the saying, not the saying. What they did, they looked at it and said, wait a minute, you have five conservatives and four liberal judges, right? It doesn't take a real scholar to say that if all five vote for it and four against it, the law is dead. So we know the story. What happened? God calls the judge. Roberts, God calls him. And right now, guaranteed, right now, if you can read his mind, he don't understand why he did it. If you can read his mind, if you could just go to his mind, he said, you know what? I don't know why I did that. I told the people, they got raised on a job, the most devilish boss in the world, give them a raise, and they still say, you know what? I don't know why I did that. It's all purpose. So what happened? Why did the law pass? It wasn't because of the what? Shenanigans of men or the manipulation of men. It's all purposed by God. And you would think that some would learn because now they say, okay, what we did, we lost. What we do, we'll get our man president. Then we'll what? We'll get so many in the Senate. And then we'll do this and then this, and we'll repeal the law. Haven't they learned? Man does not control nothing, no thing. Everything is controlled by the auspices of God's word. Everything, not some things, everything. God controls everything. And when you look at this, that everything is controlled by God, then you can see that life, everything in life, is also controlled by God. Man does not control zero. And if you just see out what's happening in the world, you can say, wait a minute, all these things are controlled by God. Let me read something to you. Right now, some of you may have heard, and right now, there's a Voyager 1 with a spacecraft that left the Earth in 1977. And right now, it's been traveling for 35 years, and it is, right now, listen to this, it is approaching the end of the solar system. And it is projected to, right now it's 11 billion miles from the Earth, and by the year 2013, it is projected to be on the edge of the solar system. And by the way, if you're looking at the solar system compared to the Earth is what? A dot. But now, here, you got man. Now, understand, now who created the solar system? Understand now, you got this dot now. No, because man said they control things. You have a little, this, the Earth is a dot. Now, if the Earth is a dot, what's man what's the mass of man compared to the mass of God? I'm sorry, the mass of man compared to the mass of the earth. You would have to look at man through an electron microscope to even see man. But yet, this little peon saying he's going to control something. Voyager 2 is 2 billion miles from Voyager 1. And again, it is projected that it will bypass the boundary of the solar system and enter interstellar space, which could be directed toward the Milky Way. But yet, now yet, somebody said, oh, that's so huge, that's so huge. Wait a minute. See, here's the problem. People look at this thing as huge. I don't want to minimize how huge this is, but they fail to see with the other side. Go to Colossians 1. Go to Colossians 1, please. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. We're going to read this in the Greek. I tell you, we're going to go right in the Greek for time's sake, because the King James did injustice on his word. We'll read this. Well, I tell you, let's read King James first. We have time. Let's read King James, and then we'll go right into the Greek.
We're reading from the book of Colossians, the first chapter, and the 16th verse, King James Version. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him.
Now we're going to go right into the Greek here.
Now from the interlinear Greek text, Colossians 1, verse 16. Because
in him,
were created all things in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities, all things through him and for him have been created.
When were they created? Everything in God, everything in Christ was created in eternity. But notice, it says everything is in him. Understand, when we're talking about this spacecraft that's almost leaving the solar system, that is so huge, we're not minimizing the size of the solar system. But we have not even gotten to talk about the galaxy and the Milky Way. We're just what? Talking about the solar system. The solar system is what? It is a minute dot compared to the vastness of God's creation. But this is God's physical creation. What God did in his spiritual creation was for you. One day you were dead in your trespasses and sins. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, for he loved you. That's a greater creation than anything that God could have created physically. When God made you a new creature in Christ, that's a greater creation than anything that God, when God said, let there be light, and there was light. When God made you, who was what? In essence, a depraved creature by what? Manifestation. For God made you one in Christ. That's a greater work than God could have ever done in the physical realm. Because everything we mentioned, the solar system, the stars, the moon, and we're not minimizing this, but this is all God's creation based on what? Physicality. However, when God made you a new creation in Christ, when he made you a new spiritual organism, when he recreated you, made you one in the body of Christ, that is all spirituality, not physicality. So in closing, we walk by faith and not by sight. And in life, like many things happen in life that you won't understand. But you know what? We learn God has a reason, a purpose for everything that happens. It's no accident. And it's an old saying that is so true even on a spiritual basis. No pain, no gain. You know, I feel, in fact, my wife and I, we feel like the past 3 months, you know, David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadows of death. It feels like sometimes we have been walking through the valley of the shadows of death based upon what? Experiences with my grandson and then Mother Goodlow. In fact, it's interesting. We were leaving to fly out of Florida on Friday. On Thursday, we got a call from Sister Gwen Sheff was a good friend of ours who passed away about 5 years ago. She had passed away with cancer. She had a son-in-law. Sister Gwen's children grew up like his. And we received a call, and Holly, Sister Gwen's daughter, her husband was murdered the Thursday before we left to go to Florida. And in essence, he was a Muslim. And see what happens when people look at what? The sin, and not the sin. The first thing they say, whoa, you know what? He's a Muslim, so he ain't saved. Wait a minute. You need to come to Sunday school the past year. We've been teaching on this. It's in the what? Saying, not the what? Sin. God has his elect Muslims, Jehovah Witnesses, Buddhists. He has them atheists. Somebody said, you better say, you preach, you've lost your mind. You mean God, you've lost your mind. Atheists! I'm going to say something. It's controversial. It's controversial. But it needs to be said, because what happened, we put labels on things, and we say, this person ain't saved because of what I say. Not on what God said. Now, somebody said, well, what about you are serving Jesus because God has what? Calls you. But God has not called everyone to manifest what? The workings of salvation. Because if you say that salvation is based upon what men must do, about it, we're not minimizing what works. Thank God we are to walk as God give us the ability to walk. The Bible says sometimes people read grace and say, well, you know what? If this teacher saved me in church, I can do what I want to do. Paul says, shall you continue in sin that grace may abound? It's, God hates sin. He's over. He changed. God hates sin. But at the same time, God's no way to pray. And that doesn't give us an excuse for sin. But what it is, when you miss the mark, there's now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. So, in closing, so we had to, my wife and I were talking, we said, man, this person, he got, now, one thing about Brother Marcel, and the only reason we didn't go to the funeral was because we had Mother Goodlow's home memorial. But in essence, they were saying, but you know, they're Muslim, because they believe in killing for their religion. Okay, hold on. So you're saying, they believe in killing for their religion. Read the history of the church. The Crusades. Read the history of the church. You know the word crusades? They would go into an area of the heathen people never heard what? They know nothing about Jesus. And they would force them to what? Convert. If you did not convert, they would kill you. So you're saying that more people have died, quote, violently. So it's not about what? It's not about what man, it's what about God. It's what God did. So in essence, I see. We concluded the same. Wait a minute. It's not about that. God has his elect from every... And only we know. Only God knows who they are. But isn't it a testimony of grace to see that a person goes through life, in essence, maybe never acknowledge Jesus. But somebody say, I'm acknowledging Jesus. But who gets credit for that? God... God calls you to acknowledge Jesus. So isn't it a testimony of grace for a person to leave this world not even what? Acknowledging God, but then are members in the body of Christ. Why? If you were chosen before the foundation of the world, before you even got here, that takes care of what? Everything. One decree. God's eternal workings. So the fact that God calls you to come to church, love to read the Bible, and fellowship with the saints, give God a credit for that. Because I tell you, if God did not block your depravity, none of us would be here right now. Somebody said, no, I wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. Because the Bible says in Romans, this world, this flesh is in enmity with God. This flesh does not want to serve God, but why do I serve God? Because God calls you to serve Him. Amen. Thank God He put the light of what? Causing me to serve Him. But thank God, when I missed the mark, I said, thank you for forgiving Jesus, but I can say what? There's no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. The summary lesson, let's get our eyes off one another, off this and that, and let's get our eyes on Jesus. Because if you look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, you can look to your brothers and sisters with what? Humility and with gracefulness, with love, to know that if they messed up, take heed, because what? The same thing could happen to you. One thing about grace, grace, what? Is very forgiving. Show me someone that's very unforgiving, I'll show you the most self-righteous person. But thank God, in closing, let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And with this understanding, God will give you insight to know, as you internalize these truths, you will be able to see and understand that our gospel is a liberating gospel. And that is why the only gospel that should be preached in this dispensation is the gospel of the grace of God. God bless you.